I feel like we need to do this one again and really let this be a declaration from you to the Lord for this new year, because this is it. It's time. Take up our cross and really follow him. It's time to make a difference, shake the world up even more with the gospel and the power of Jesus. Amen.
Seen the pain.
thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We pray that this year, Lord, this new year can be a year that your people truly lay down their lives, their own will, their own desires, every sin, every weight that besets us, and that we could truly take up our cross and follow you with all of our heart, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaim the truth of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, to shake our world, to save those who will hear, to be a light and witness and warning to those who are hard-hearted and evil, and Lord, to prepare for the storm that is ahead of us. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I am glad today that I am a Christian, that I am a born again, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, demon casting out, gifts of the Holy Spirit believing Christian, that I believe in the Jesus of the Bible, and that he is coming back again. Amen. That is it, really. Isn't that it? He died on that cross for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day. We must believe those things with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength enough to repent of our sin and surrender our lives completely to him. And we can be saved from our sins. We can be saved from the penalty, the punishment, and the eternal damnation and separation from God. That is the gospel. Well, let me tell you something. That right there will offend most everyone in the world. It actually offends some Christians now. At least some people say they're Christians. But let me tell you, the truth of God's word, whether it's in Genesis, or whether it's in Psalms, or whether it's in the Gospels, or whether it's in the book of Revelation, no matter where, the truth is what we need to put forth all the time. And this is, I just want to say this, this is no time for backing down. This is no time for becoming timid or afraid or shy or holding back. There's really not a whole lot of time left. And we need to not waste time. And we don't need, let me tell you, if soft, seeker-sensitive, beating around the bush Christianity would have worked, if that was the way we were supposed to do it, it's been tried for over 30 years in America, and there is no true revival in the churches, especially the ones that use that philosophy of ministry. So I just want to say this. It doesn't matter what opposition you face. It doesn't matter what persecution you face. It doesn't matter how many people walk away from you. Never, ever back down from the truth of God's word. Never back down. I mean, not one part of it. Never. Because the Lord spoke to me about something, and I'm telling you. People that have, even in your life, people in the scope of this ministry over the last 11 years, the Lord's told me that a lot of them that have been listening from afar, when the storm is really upon us, they're going to find their way to the one that's been warning them. And that's going to be you or me or you, because there are pastors out there and shepherds out there who have not warned them. They have not prepared them for what is coming. So they may think you're crazy now, but they won't in the days ahead if you don't hold anything back. They need to know that you have been bold, outspoken, plain. You've made it plain and clear to them what the Word of God says and what the Word of God says about the prophetic end time prophecies of the Bible that are coming upon us. Now, I've entitled this today just simply Heading Into the Storm. And I want you to turn and take your Bibles. We're going to walk through a story here in the book of Acts. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 27. I almost called this "the storm is upon us," but really the storm will be upon us. Now, mind you, I say this in light of Christians being beheaded by Muslims as we speak in the Middle East. Christians being killed in Nigeria, a country I've been to twice and was in danger of my life while I was there. Almost didn't make it back the second time. So I understand this. This is very real. Okay? We are headed, and I'm just going to say this, we're just a few days from moving into the new year, 2020. And I'm just going to tell you, the next decade is going to be very different from the last decade. You hear what I'm saying? Very, very different, particularly for Americans and the West. Now, it's been getting worse and worse, you know. This is what Paul prophesied in 2 Peter. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Deceivers will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So he talks about there would be a gradual increase. Things would get worse and worse. All right? But we're definitely going to see a shift of things getting worse and worse in the days ahead. And truly in America, if you don't know that the storm clouds are gathering over our nation, it's time to wake up a little bit. I want to go, let's go to Acts chapter 27, verse 1. And y'all can put up the title if you have it up there for everybody. We'll let everybody turn there. Did y'all not get the picture? Okay, there it is. All right. Heading into the storm. Now, this is after Paul, the Apostle Paul, was confronted in Jerusalem by the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priest. They were going to kill him, tear him apart. There were plots to kill him. And finally, Paul appealed to Caesar, having Roman citizenship. He appealed to Caesar. And, of course, they said to Caesar, you will go. Now, let me say this. This was all part of God's plan. As we're going to read this, you're going to see this. God always ordained it to be part of the plan, his plan for Paul's life, that Paul would testify before kings and princes and rulers and even Caesar himself, who was pretty much the emperor, the king of the whole world or the known world at the time. And so it was God's will. Let me just say this. It was clearly God's will for Paul to go to Rome to testify of Jesus and the gospel and his testimony. But the process of getting there was not easy, nor was it pretty. And Paul knew it wasn't going to be easy and it wasn't going to be pretty. But I'm going to bring out quite a few principles through this, so I hope you can stay with me. This is something that I've read many times over the years, and I don't think I've ever preached on it in this fashion, but it's just been on my heart lately. And so anyway, let's just start reading here. This is Acts 27, verse 1. It says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, I don't know how to say that. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, he sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and to Lycia. And there were the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy and put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh unto where is Lycia, and a city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished us. Now, pay close attention to verse 10 here. The Apostle Paul said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, and if by any means they might attain to Phinehas, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete that lieth toward the southwest and the northwest." Now, before we get any further into this, I do want to bring out something here about spiritual perception and discernment. Now, God works in different ways, and this was the Apostle Paul, and I want you to understand this right here. God speaks to us prophetically. He speaks different ways. He can speak by direct word. What I mean that is that you actually, in your spirit, you hear the words he's saying. Not like you hear me right now, but on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you can hear the word. That's why the prophets would say, the word of the Lord came unto me. They were wide awake and God was speaking directly to them, his Holy Spirit to their spirit. Now, can God speak audibly so that your physical ears hear it as well? Well, absolutely he can if he wants to. But most of the time, he does not do that. And so that's what we talk about, the word of the Lord. Remember, it was similar with Samuel. When Samuel, the Lord was trying to call Samuel, Eli didn't hear the Lord calling Samuel, but Samuel heard it. And finally, Eli figured out, the high priest figured out that the Lord was speaking to the young man, but Eli wasn't hearing what Samuel was hearing audibly. But this is the word of the Lord. So it's people get confused sometimes, but the word of the Lord can be, it's very quiet. Sometimes very, you know, it's the still small voice spoken of, you know, in the story of Elijah. Very subtle, very quiet, and very easy if you want to override it with your emotions and your own thoughts and your own ideas and your own will. You can override it real easy and just dismiss it. Well, that wasn't the Lord, that's just me. And that's what a lot of people do. They don't realize God is speaking to them many times, but they just push it off. But that's one thing. When the word of the Lord comes, it's going to be very specific, a lot of times very detailed. Now, another way God speaks to us is by dreams and visions. Now, let me say this. A dream or a vision sometimes has to be interpreted, meaning you don't always know when you receive the dream or the vision from God. You don't always know what all it means. If you go and you look at Daniel had several visions and dreams from the Lord. He had no idea what they meant. He just knew he was to write them down. He was to record them for us. Now we can look at them like the four beasts. We know what they are because we are in that time period. I can't tell you how many times that the Lord's given me a dream, and some of the parts of a dream can be very obvious and easy to interpret, and other parts you can think you have the interpretation until the event takes place and you go, okay, I didn't understand it fully, but now I do. This has happened to me many times, and I'm bringing this up because people get real judgmental when you start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and prophetic words, and they're like, well, you said it was this, but it was that. And I'm like, well, I had to rebuke somebody. To give you an example, a few years ago, well, probably, I guess, be right before Pope Francis took over, I had a dream about Pope Benedict. And he was, in the dream, he was like 7 foot tall and just like a skeleton of death. And he had on this robe that was just, it was just embroidered with gold and everything. But he was so frail and he was so, he looked like death warmed over. He was walking, but he had two priests, younger priest on each side of him, assisting him in walking. Okay, so when I woke up from the dream, immediately my interpretation of the dream was, I thought, well, Pope Francis is going to die because he looked like death warmed over, and we're going to get a new, I mean, not Pope Francis, but Pope Benedict, and then we're going to get a new pope. But in the dream, he wasn't dead. He was still alive. He just looked like death. Well, not long after that, there was a, I don't know if it was a article or it was a video I saw, but Pope Benedict was so frail that he had two priests holding him up, walking with him. And so later on, and I said this, I said either, basically either, you know, I perceived it as, I thought, well, he's probably going to die and we're going to get a new pope, because it's almost unprecedented that we have two popes, that one steps down, right? That's only happened like twice in the last 600 years, I think, something like that. So that what happened was, of course, I was like, wow. So when he stepped down, I fully understood the dream, that he had too many issues. There was too much going on there. And God was warning me, and I told everybody, I said it too in the dream, what I perceived from it was once Pope Benedict was replaced, that the guy coming was going to be very, very bad. Now, Pope Benedict wasn't good, mind you. None of them are. None of the popes have been good, all right? But we've had popes that are much worse than others. And so we have now Pope Francis, the first Jesuit pope in history, saying things, unprecedented things, like don't preach Jesus anymore. Don't try to convert anybody to Christianity. That's one of his recent statements. He not too long ago said that atheists will still go to heaven whether they believe in Jesus or not. Of course, they all, Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II, changed the Roman Catholic Catechism to say that Muslims would go to heaven whether they accept Jesus or not. So these popes now, for the last few years, they've been creating this. So I said, you know, this next guy is going to be really, really bad and probably will be the guy, the false prophet to work with the Antichrist when he comes. But remember, again, I thought, well, the Pope Benedict's going to die. Again, later on, people jumped on it. Well, you said he was going to die. He didn't die. He stepped down. And I'm like, the dream speaks for itself. Did he die in the dream? No. I just got the wrong interpretation of it because I put my thinking on it. But the dream spoke for itself, that he would be, basically, he would be removed and there would be a different pope. And that's what I got out of it. So I'm explaining to you, there's the word of the Lord. There's dreams and visions that have to be interpreted. Sometimes we don't understand them fully until they come to pass. And then there's perception, okay? Now here Paul says to them, and this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, he just perceives the danger. He perceives the danger that this voyage is going to encounter. Now he doesn't know all the details. He says here, I perceive that we're going to lose everything in the ship and possibly our lives, right? Now, we know as we read the story, they did lose the ship and everything in it, but they didn't lose their lives. Why? Because Paul, the Lord, came back later and spoke, I'm going to save everybody that's with you. Okay? But he didn't know that in the beginning. All he just had a perception, you know, maybe we ought not launch out right now. You know? But, of course, they didn't listen to Paul, as usually they don't listen to the preachers, right, and go on and do what they want to do. So this is the situation. So Paul perceived, he knew we're going to get, basically he was telling them, we're heading into a storm, you guys, and we're going to lose everything. And it's not good. We probably ought to wait a little while. We ought to be patient. No, that wasn't the plan. But I'm here to tell you today, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to me that we're heading into a storm. And I believe 2020 is going to be the beginning of it. We're going to begin to feel the winds of it. I don't believe it'll be the worst part of it, mind you, but we're going to head into the outer edge of this storm. Many of you don't know what's brewing. And maybe you do, maybe some of you do, maybe you don't. You don't know what's brewing in Virginia right now. How many of you know what's brewing in Virginia right now? Well, what's brewing in Virginia is that a Democrat socialist governor is taking over with a Democrat socialist majority in their state house and Senate, and they're going to enact some very dramatic gun control and even confiscation. And pretty much I've read the bills, and they're so vague that almost any weapon, any semi-automatic pistol or rifle could be included in this. And there's sheriffs in entire counties saying, we're not going to follow any orders. If this law comes in, we will not follow it. And militias are organizing.
Sheriffs of counties are saying they will deputize everyone in the county if necessary. And what a lot of you don't know is that there's, it's common knowledge that from 2017, 2016, that Obama early on was allowing UN armored vehicles and UN forces to store armored UN vehicles. Guess where? Virginia. Just happened to be in a Kellogg's plant in Virginia. Now, this has been many reported on this. There have been people that took drones and flew them over this place, and they got pictures of it and video of it. And still people won't believe it, right? Even though recently Chicago authorities asked for UN to come in and help them with the gangs on the streets of Chicago, which Trump had to threaten them with the law and to use United States forces as if they called in foreign help from a foreign government, from a foreign entity. What you need to understand is if these kind of things go down the way they appear, they could start going down within weeks. We could really be entering the second American Civil War in the next few weeks, but most people are oblivious. Most people have no clue what's going on. And what Obama and the deep state people have set into place to undermine and bring down the United States, they want UN troops to take over the United States. You do understand that. To have the New World Order, the one world government, the one world money system, the one world religion, they have got to cripple and bring into control the entire United States. And for those of you who don't understand, again, there's so many people out there that they think Trump's part of it. If you think Trump is part of it, you have absolutely no spiritual discernment from the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going ahead and tell you that right now. All right? They hate him. They want him dead. They want him gone. They want him removed. And there's these people. Listen, it comes down to this, you guys. There's not Republicans and Democrats or libertarians and socialists. There's none of this stuff. There's good and evil. There's people trying to follow the good, trying to do what's right, that have some morality, that have some conscience, have a conscience. And then there's the evil side of people who are following Satan. They are following Lucifer, the devil, his agenda for this world. Some of them know they're following him. And some of them are higher up and they know they're following Satan and his plan, and they're well entrenched in it. And some are ignorant that they're following Satan, but they're still pushing his agenda. And we have people like us, the born-again, spirit-filled Christians who know their Bible and pay attention to what's going on. We know what's going on. We know that righteousness and salvation and truth is only found in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And we know what it says, and that it's going, every bit of it that it's been prophesied is going to happen just like it says. And then there's people who may not know it like we know it, but they know they don't want any part of the evil. They don't want to follow. They don't want the New World Order. They don't want the Luciferians and the Satanists running the world. But they just don't know Jesus yet. So it's a mess. We got the good guys who know what's going on that walk with the Lord. We got good guys who don't know the Lord. We got bad guys who don't know Satan. And we got bad guys who follow Satan and know it. So we got this whole hodgepodge going on out here. But make no mistake about it, folks. America will be at war. We will have a civil war. And we will be invaded by foreign entities, all submitted to the United Nations agenda. The United Nations is the beast world government. Now, they may eventually call it something different than the United Nations, but I know from this book that prophesied that those single beast entities would join together into one beast. Well, I don't know if these beasts are nations and the Bible says they join together, then those are uniting nations. Right? It's not hard to figure out. And we know the philosophy, the religion, the beliefs behind the people of the United Nations because we can just go and look at their writings. We go and look at what they say they believe, who they follow. Alice Bailey Helen Blavatsky. They admit, they believe, the people in the high up that run the United Nations will tell you, if you can get them to tell you the truth, they'll talk about Bailey and Blavatsky. But you don't know, most people don't know what Bailey and Blavatsky believed. They believed Lucifer was God. They followed Lucifer, the fallen angel. He was really the one that came to help mankind. This is what they believe. So you need to understand, these people know they're working for Lucifer. They know it. And they'll tell you, some of them actually believe out there that Lucifer and Satan are two different entities. No, they're not. Lucifer, the devil, Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, the Bible says, he's the same one. But their goal is to bring down our country. And that's why they're going to lose their minds this next year. They want to get rid of Trump. They hate anyone who's Christian or conservative in the least. Anyone who believes in American sovereignty or the American Constitution or our freedoms. You got to understand, these people are enemies. They hate you. They hate you. If you believe that America should be free, listen, they're coming after the First Amendment, our freedom of speech, our freedom of worship. They've taken over the press. And they want the Second Amendment gone because then no one can stop them. And people say, I have friends in Australia and England and the UK tell me, I so wish we had your constitution, that we had some protection from this beast that has taken over our government. Do you know that the only protection we have that's even stopped it in America is, first of all, just God Almighty himself and the fact that we have a document that is supreme law. The Constitution is the supreme law of the United States. You know, there was a day way back when that I taught high school students the origins of civil government. Not perfect, but based on Christian principles, based on biblical principles. And America, with all of its problems, and with all the evil people that's infiltrated our government and our intelligence agencies and everything else, we've still had a lot of good guys and good women and people who actually have a conscience and who care about our country, care about our people, care about our laws, care about our freedoms. And we have people who want to destroy that. You have to understand, it's not Republican or Democrat. There's a bunch of Republicans that need to go to prison for treason. You hear what I'm saying? But you need to understand, they are going to do, the impeachment of Trump, President Trump, did not work. All the other stuff has not worked. So here's what they're going to try. You mark my words. This is just something, listen, this is something I just perceive. I don't have a direct word from the Lord, but this is just something I perceive. Okay? But just mark it down. We'll see if I'm right. You mark it down that these mass shootings will increase over the next few months. You mark it down that they're probably going to release some kind of serious false flag upon our nation. I happen to have a good idea of where it might go down as the good guys in our intelligence agencies, I think they know where it's going to go down, and have already set up a staging area for it to prepare. They've heard the threats and the rumors. Like I said, there's one guy somebody told me about. What was this? They called him No Soul, who's threatening a massive attack on America. Isn't that interesting? His code name is No Soul. No conscience. No heart. You guys have to understand, the plot is in place. they're going to, it will probably be a biological or chemical attack somewhere in some city. They will probably detonate a nuke somewhere at some point in the future. They're going to do all kinds of things. There will probably be, especially if Trump is reelected, they're going to lose their minds. There will be many more assassination attempts, whether you hear about them or not. And I'm bringing this up because I want you to understand, everybody thinks in America, oh, it's good, everything's good, things will continue as they are forever. And they're not going to. And you better be figuring out some things. Where are you going to stand? I thank God I'm in Alabama. I love Alabama. We may very well see again the United States completely divided into two different countries, like it was during the Civil War. And you know what I say to that? It's okay with me. As long as we're on the side opposing the Antichrist. Opposing the UN. And look, I know. I'll just go in and say this. I know soldiers watch me. Military officers. People in the Department of Defense. Because they've let me know. Naval Intelligence, U.S. Cyber Command, even the Western European Union. It's not supposed to exist. That entity is not even supposed to exist. And yet, they were on my website. Why do you think they watch? I think some of them watch because they want to know the truth. I think some of them watch because they're our enemies. They want to know what we know. Let me tell you, we know the whole story. And if you want to know more, we'll tell you. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus before it's too late. He's coming back. He's gonna let y'all think you're winning. And then he's going to come back. But in the process of that, there's going to be a great move of God among his people. And the more pressure they put on us and the more persecution they put on us and the more things go down the tubes, the true born-again believers that will not let fear rule them will rise up. With the anointing of God on them and the boldness and the power of God on them. And they will not fear death. They will not fear imprisonment. They will not fear persecution. They will not be quiet. They will not be silent. We will not slink away into the night. I'm not running. No. I will not run. But it's coming. And we're heading into it. And part of this storm is not just the Civil War, the civil unrest, the UN troops, the foreign troops that'll be working with them here. Chinese are here already. The Russians are here already. Y'all just don't know. We're surrounded. They're in our country. Obama had 8 years to let them come in, and he let them come in. Trump has been up against almost an overwhelming opposition that none of you get to see because it was all placed in these intelligence agencies and different parts of the military. Why do you think that Obama went on a firing spree of generals in the last few years of his presidency? And replace them. Why do you think? You think Mr. Pro-UN Demise of America Obama was doing it to help us? Why do you think the intelligence agencies set up these schemes against President Trump before he could even get into office? Unprecedented to spy on a presidential candidate. That is criminal. You don't understand. There was 8 years of satanic UN Luciferian criminals running the United States of America and filling it with their people, from Muslims to Satanists to pedophiles, you name it. Jesuits in the Vatican had a heyday getting their everything they wanted into this country. You just don't get it. I'm telling you, Christians, you need to understand. They're all against us. It's not paranoia when they really are after you. It's not paranoia when they tell you what they're going to do, and yet most people still won't believe it. They tell us. They've told us. I mean, the Georgia Guidestones over here says their goal is to take the population of the world down to 500 million. They put it in stone. In 8 languages. So you get the message. That's the goal. And yet, we still have people. Conspiracy theory. I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. If it's in the Bible and it's in Bible prophecy and you see it actually happening in the world, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. It is a very real conspiracy that was foretold thousands of years ago so that you would know that it was real and it was really happening. Now, here's the beautiful part of this story. Paul, let's get back to our story here. So I've given you the gloom side, right? I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now, what does this tell us? I think there's a lot of people that think, well, the economy's good. Oh, yeah, Trump will be reelected. Trump's reelected. There's a lot of people that have in their minds, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be cake and candy, right? Fun in the sun, right? So they, you know, they got a nice soft wind. Oh, it's going to be all right. But verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called a Euroclodon or whatever. I don't know. These words are something else. But typhoon, basically. If you look up the Greek word there for tempestuous wind, it's the word we get, the Greek word we get our word typhoon from. So basically, a hurricane. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's a storm. That's a serious storm. Went on for days. Didn't see the stars or the sun, nothing. That's a serious storm. And they lost hope that they would make it. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." I love that. You should have listened to me. Remember, I was the one saying, let's not go down this road, right? But you're hard-headed, so we're going. And then he says, And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Can you imagine in the middle of a hurricane on the water? Be of good cheer. It's one of those Pentecostal preachers, right? Be of good cheer, he says. Oh, goodness gracious. He says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. We're not going to lose. No one's going to die, but folks, the ship is done for. Right? Now, can you imagine them trying to figure out how are we going to survive if we have no ship? See, crazy prophets, crazy men of God, right? Believe what God tells them, no matter what's happening around them. And he says this, he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So here Paul, preaching on a ship that's coming apart in the middle of a hurricane. Be of good cheer. We're going to lose the boat, but we're all going to make it because God told me this. Lock up the crazy man. Right? Lock him in the brig. he's broken into the rum or something. Something's wrong with him. No. He went from perceiving something to having what? A direct word from the Lord that was very specific. Well, guess what? Everything happened just like told him. Now, the ship came apart. They were all cast into the sea. They all managed to swim or grab a piece of debris and make it to an island. And he said, we're gonna lose the ship. We're going to lose everything in it, but no one's going to die. But we're going to be cast upon a certain island. Now, hear what I'm saying. The storm that's coming in the years ahead of us, even that I believe the winds of it are going to begin to blow in 2020, I believe that in the middle of these things, God is going to do amazing things. People are going to be saved that would have never listened, but because of the storm, but because of the darkness, because of the loss, because of the fear descending down upon the world, that many are going to turn, they're going to turn to born-again believers and say, why is it you can be of good cheer? Why is it that you have hope? Why is it that you have peace? It looks like we're all going to die. How can you smile? How can you sing praises to God? How can you rejoice? How can you have faith? Don't you see what God's letting you go through? Can I tell you, if you're following God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ with all of your heart, if you're, that song we sang a minute ago, if you're truly taking up your cross and following him, it doesn't matter the size or the strength of the storm, because God's even using that storm to bring you into his will. You hear me? I look back at some of the storms of my life, and some of the biggest storm I ever went through brought me even closer to God and brought me into his perfect, more, how do I put it, just more, I don't even know the words, just his perfect, I mean, he streamlined his will. Things he told me years before the storm. It took the storm to get me to the place where those things could happen. You hear me? And Paul was cast upon. They were all cast upon a certain island. Of course, I'm not going to read through the whole shipwreck. There's some amazing things in here. Because I don't want to keep you all day. Plus, it's my birthday. I'm getting out of here. Well, let's go to chapter 28, Acts 28, verse 1. Acts 28, verse 1, it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. And in the same quarters were the possessions of a chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was under Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days." And of course, they went on, and they went on to make it to Rome. Now, you can read all of this for yourself, but I wanted you to see that in the midst of this, God's plan was to take Paul from Jerusalem to stand before Caesar. Can I just say, God has a plan for us, you guys. He has a plan for his church, for his people. And it's not to just be completely defeated in these last days. Now, I know there's some people out there, "Well, Pastor Dean, we're going to be raptured out of here before all this." No, you're not. Stop sending me pre-trib rapture videos, teachings, books. It's not going to work. It's amazing. And people send me boxes of books and CDs and video links. And it's not one new argument that I haven't heard in the last 32 years on the pre-trib rapture nonsense. Jesus, and I'm just going to say this, for those of you who haven't heard me teach on this, let me just explain one simple thing to you. Matthew 24 is not just for the Jews. If somebody told you that, they lied to you. Matthew 24, Jesus' disciples, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus said, "These are the beginning of sorrows." And then he said, "Then this will happen. Then this will happen. Then this will happen." And then he gets down to the middle of the chapter and he says, "Then there shall be great tribulation, such as there was never since there was a nation." Then he says, "Many false Christs and false prophets will rise and deceive many." He says, "And when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place," he's talking about the Antichrist. Guess what? All the way through that, there's been no mention of the rapture, the resurrection, the calling up of the church, the elect, the bride. But we get to verse 29, and it says this: "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give off its light. Then what? The stars will fall. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will be the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And with the great sound of a trumpet, his angels will go forth and gather his elect from one end of heaven to the other." He told us exactly when it would happen. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, not before. That's Jesus, not your seminary professor, not your Baptist pastor. That is what Jesus taught. Let's just stop with the doctrines of men and believe Jesus. Amen? If we are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to go through the tribulation. "Well, Pastor Dean, we're not appointed to God's wrath, and it's all God's wrath." No, it is not. Most of it is Satan's plan. Most of it is persecution. And God did not promise to deliver you from tribulation or persecution. Well, what about those hailstones? Oh, God. I just ask one question. When do we have another time in the Bible when God had a series of plagues to destroy a nation where his people were there? When did that happen? Anybody? Egypt, maybe, right? Let the Bible interpret the Bible, right? Series of plagues. So in the book of Revelation, we got a series of judgments. And the book, you know, on Egypt, there were 10 of them, right? One question, simple. Did the children of Israel leave Egypt before the plagues or after all of them were finished? Exactly. Did God know how to protect his people when he was punishing the other people, the wicked? Yes. So stop believing the doctrines of men. You better prepare yourself. You will be here. You will not be taken out before anything bad happens in the world or America. That is a lie. It is a deception. It is a false little security blanket. It's really going to destroy a lot of people, because a lot of people from that moment on, when it really hits hard, a lot of people said, you know what, my pastor told me we would be out of here, or, you know, that Bible says we would be raptured first. No, it doesn't. That's men talking, but people think it's the Bible teaching it. And they're going to go, you know what? I don't believe the church anymore. I don't believe the pastor anymore. I don't believe the Bible anymore. That's what's going to happen. Mark it down. Now, we're going to be here. Now, why does God want us to be here? And plus, let me just give you this. Go to John 17 for me. I love this prayer of Jesus right here. How many of y'all think that what Jesus prays gets done? Y'all think that? I do. I think if Jesus prays it, speaks it, talks it gets done. Right? Oh, let me find it here. Oh, yes. Here we go. Here's the prayer, one of the prayers of Jesus. John 17, verse 9. I just think this prayer is going to be answered. Where he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, right? But for them which are thou hast given me. And that's, wait a minute, that's not the one I'm looking for. Where is it? Ah, 15, I'm sorry. Though it's all good, you can read it all. But he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Wow. We have Jesus praying, Father, don't take them out of the world. And we got pastors getting upset. They're going to take you out. God's going to take you out of the world before anything bad happens to you. Why is it when Jesus said, and the apostles told us, that we would suffer for him and his kingdom, why is it that everything in us wants to avoid that? Why is it so terrible? I couldn't do that. Let me tell you. If it comes down to you having to suffer physical persecution, God is able to be with you in that moment and give you the grace and the strength for you to endure. Let me ask you something in this room. How many of you in this room have been physically, assaulted for preaching the gospel? So only one of us here. This guy. I've been physically assaulted on 3 occasions while preaching the gospel. And I told this story not too long about the guy that stood up in Steak and Shake and punched me in the chest. I'm telling you, I did not even feel it. It might as well have been a gnat sneezing on my chest. It did not move me. It did not. There was no pain involved. It was like, really? I had another guy assault me, and he came running up. And listen, I was trained by a fifth degree Tang Sido master privately. Private lessons. We didn't have to fool with the class. I can defend myself. And I just stood there. And the guy punched me in the stomach as hard as he could. I didn't feel it. In fact, I didn't feel it. It didn't move me backwards. It didn't knock the breath out. I didn't even take a step back. It was like, and he was trying, he was going for multiple punches. And it was like some invisible barrier in front of me. Now, I'm not saying you won't, that physical persecution won't be painful. But I'm telling you, I think the Lord allowed those situations to show me that in the midst of being physically persecuted, he can cause them to think they're doing something and you to feel nothing. He can give you the grace and the strength that you need in that time period. And that's why I'm telling you, don't compromise. Don't back down no matter what you face. God will be with you if you stay with him. You hear me? Listen, I'll never forget. I don't know if it was in Syria or Iraq. I can't remember because I was watching so many videos. But during the ISIS reign of terror in 2013 and 14, they caught a pastor, and I think it was in Syria, a Christian pastor. And they had some piece of heavy equipment with an arm on it, a boom on it. And they had a rope attached to that, and they had it around his neck, and they were about to snatch him up and hang him and kill him. He was smiling, y'all. Not just a little grin. He was smiling from ear to ear. And yes, they hung him. It was on video. They hung him. He was smiling from ear to ear. Now, you want to tell me that's not God's grace and strength? Or someone not willing to deny him, not willing to back down, not willing to compromise? Americans better get a hold of themselves. I'm talking about American Christians. I'm going to finish with one more passage. Go with me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. That choked on my water. I know I've read this passage many times, but it's a word from the Lord to me. It's not just something in the Bible. Sometimes the Lord takes certain passages and he'll make them yours. Now, I'm not saying they're not for other people, but he spoke this. He gave this to me. I remember January 15th, 1989. Never forget it. This was a word to me from him. But I think it says a lot here because he says this, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, or those outside the covenant, those unsaved, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Meaning even leaders, some leaders are going to be saved. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces or the resources of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, the forces or resources, that word, if you look it up in the Hebrew, means the finances you will need, or the physical stuff you will need to get the job done, will come. And that people will be converted. The abundance of the sea will be converted. I absolutely believe this with all my heart. That the greater the storm, as it intensifies, the more it intensifies, the darker it gets, those who will arise and be bold for Jesus Christ, who will speak his word from Genesis to Revelation, who will not be ashamed, who will not be timid, who will not be afraid, I believe that the light and the glory of God is going to come upon each of those people, and God's going to fill us, and God's going to anoint us with power. And just like Paul, that even in the midst of the great difficulty getting from point A to point B and being in the storm, that God's going to cast us on these islands with these people, and he's going to use us to heal the sick, to cast out demons. They're going to see the miraculous, the supernatural, the power of Jesus on us, so that we can testify and give the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in word, but also in power. And I believe that with all my heart. And you've got to choose. You've really got to choose now. Who will you be? Who will you be? Because many are going to be ashamed of him and his word. Many are going to depart from him, walk back no more, get into deception, get into error. Many are going to fall away as well. So which side are you going to be on? Jesus? Or are you going to slip away and end up working for the other side? Knowingly or unknowingly? See, I've made up my mind. And I like what the Bible talks about faith. He says about talking about Abraham's faith, that he was fully persuaded. JC, I'm fully persuaded. I know whom I have believed in. Not just know about him, I know him. Not a billion Muslims could turn me away. Not all the armies of the world could turn me away from Jesus. Because I know he is the creator. God manifested in the flesh. The Lamb of God. The resurrection and the life. I know that he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. I know he is the only Savior. And you know what I know? I know he loves me. I know he saved me. I know he filled me with his spirit. I know he's real. Like I know this book is real. Like this podium is real. Like these classes are real. Like this microphone. I know he's real. Too many people don't know him like that. That's the problem. When you're born again, when you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, who died on that cross and rose from the dead, God manifested in the flesh, the creator of the heavens and the earth, when you truly have faith in him and you repent of your sin and you come into that place where you are born again, let me tell you something. You don't know about him. You know him. You know him. You know his presence. You know his peace. You know his power. You know the creator. You don't just know about him, you know him. And if you don't know him like that, you better get to know him as quickly as possible. Because you have wasted a lot of time. And time is something now that we are very, very short of. So we are heading into the storm. But for those of us that love the Lord, there's going to be some really good things. And we're going to be in the middle of people who are losing their minds. And we're going to say, be of good cheer. I know the one who walks on the water. He doesn't need a boat. I know the one who can calm the storm. I know the one who can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I know that you're not going to die because that rattlesnake just bit you, because I can pray for you. You're not going to die from this fever, even though you can't go to the doctor and you can't get medicine because you won't take the mark of the beast. You're not going to die of this fever because I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name and rebuke this fever. This is the people that God's wanting to raise up for the storm. Not just believers, but supernatural believers. Because that's what the people around us are going to need. They're going to need people who can stand on a boat that's coming apart in the midst of a hurricane, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of being tossed to and fro, with everyone around you afraid they're about to die, and can stand up and go, there's a way to be saved. Be of good cheer. Not one of you are going to die if you're with me. If you listen to what I say, you guys should have listened to me. I love that, Paul. You should have listened, but you didn't. So here we are. Rise up and be that people. Let's stand. We're going to do that wake up song again before we leave. I know we did it at the beginning. This is the word for 2020 right here, this song. I don't know how much of the storm we're going to head into in 2020, but I know we're going to begin to feel the winds of it. That in itself is God's mercy. I think it'll probably get turned up to 11 around 2022. There'll be some increase around that time. I think we're going to have some time, a little time, to prepare ourselves before the storm gets worse, before we get deeper into it. Seek the Lord. You say, Pastor Dean, what do I need to do? Seek the Lord and ask him. Say, I know what I'm supposed to do. But he may have a little bit different plan for you. So you need to know what you're supposed to do. I promise you this, it won't be running and hiding. And I can promise you this, it won't be being ashamed of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. For me, I know I'm not leaving Alabama. I'm here till Jesus comes or I go be with him. God's had me all over the place over the years. But I had a dream, prophetic dream, when I was 16 years old, that when the end came, I was here. And I didn't plan any of that. 20-something years, God takes me all over the place. Texas, Arkansas, Texas, Washington, D.C. And then says, go home, go to your hometown and start a church. And then from there, he said, I will not suffer your foot to be moved. This is where you stay. Now that's me. You got to know for yourself. I know what I'm called to do. I know what I'm supposed to preach and teach. I know where I'm supposed to do it. Now there's more details I need to find out, because I can tell you this, for our church, this 2020 is going to be our year of evangelism. We're about to hit the streets. We're about to upset some more people. We're going to become annoying. As if we're not already. But see, that's because I know the Lord's telling me, okay, it's time for you to do more ministry in your local area in evangelism. So that's what we're going to do. But you need to pray and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And some of you, It will be moved to a different place. God's going to take some of you out of places that are dangerous and put you in other places. Going to put you or better position you maybe where you are so that you can be in a situation where you can be prepared and be a better light. So, you know, so there's the Lord's going to do a different. It's just the key to everything as a believer is drawing near to Him and hearing His voice and letting Him speak to you and guide you. That's what's important. Let's do the song.
Stand up.
here's what we're going to do. If anybody needs prayer in here this morning, I want you to just step up here. Let's do the third song we did this morning. We're going to do that again. And you can, we can let the broadcast go. Let me just say this out there. I know a lot of you, there's been problems with sound. On my iPhone and my computer, the sound, the volume on our broadcast sounds perfect. Okay, it sounds fine. It's high enough. I don't know if it's because it's an Android system or if it's an old computer or what, but there are apps you can download to boost your volume if you need to do that. You probably need to do that because we've checked everything. So, but many people hear it all fine. Volume levels are good. Others will tell us it's way too low. There's nothing we can do about if it's on your end. We can't fix that. And it could be, you know, some weird algorithm out there messing with it. But like I said, there's apps to boost your volume in your speakers. So look into that. That might help. All right. If anybody needs prayer in here, I want you to just step up here and we'll pray for you before we go. Let's do that third song. I can't even remember what we did this morning. What was it? Yeah, that's a good one. Anybody need prayer? I want you to come before we leave. If not, we'll just do this song and we'll be dismissed.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you, oh. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Starts to vanish, every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. There's resurrection life in all you do. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. Give you permission, our hearts are yours, we want you.
goodness of God.
Took a breath when I doubted.